I have a lot to say this morning, but I will keep it as brief as I possibly can. I'm abandoning my series for just a moment. I was teaching the men on a man under authority, but I think in light of things that have been going on this past week, it behooves me to speak in regards to homosexuality. And I want to make sure as I go. Well, let me read my text to you, and then I'll make sure you understand where I'm coming from. Okay? I intend not to necessarily be preachy this morning. I hope you're okay with that. Because my goal this morning is to instruct, and I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood, and I want to make sure that what I say is clear and has the right meaning to it so that I'm not offensive. And sometimes if you're preaching, you could just get preachy. You know what I mean? And people won't understand where you're coming from. And I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from this morning. But I'm going to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. These verses have everything to do with what God intends to do with humanity. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's something, church, we have to practice now. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does God want to do? He wants to renew the way we think. Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is. What is the proof of our renewed mind? We will prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, I take on a task this morning that is larger than I even understand in myself. And I know, Father, that the country is in disarray right now over these issues. Father, I've seen on Facebook many things, and I'm also troubled in my spirit. And Father, I want to speak to these things, but I also want your love to be here. And I want this congregation to feel your love coming from me and how I feel. I want to articulate this clearly. I want this to be done right. Father, I pray that you will speak through me and that you will take over right now. I surrender all to you. Let my words be yours. Let my hands be yours. Let my feet be yours. And let my heart be yours. Father, fill my mind with your thoughts, your word, and I promise God all glory will belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before I begin this difficult subject, I want to make sure you understand that I'm not coming from a place of anger. Nor am I coming from a place of frustration or hate. Because my God commissions me to love everybody. And I love everybody as God loves everybody. But there are things in Scripture that are just plain wrong. That the Bible explicitly says this is right, this is wrong. And so I know that society in some places have even deemed to say homosexuality is wrong as being a hate speech. I want you to know I'm not speaking from those areas of hate. Because I am going to use Scripture this morning, and lots of it. And I want you to have your Bibles ready to go with me when we go there. But I'm not coming from hate. I want you to know that I personally have family members that I speak to, that I love dearly, who who are battling homosexuality. And so I want to make sure that if they hear what I'm saying and they listen to my podcast, that they know where I'm coming from. And I also want the gay community who may hear this online somewhere or hear this message understand where I'm coming from. That it's not a message this morning or a teaching that is attacking or ridiculing or putting down, but the intention is to lift up and exalt people to a mindset that God intends for all humanity to have. And I don't believe at all Christian. I want to state this right now because I've seen a lot of things this week on Facebook. Christians, I want you to quit attacking. I want you to start using knowledge as your base. You can't win people if you beat them. You have to show them respect and love and reach out to them. And so I want you to understand, yes, does the lifestyle, do we disagree? Yes. But there's a proper way to win a soul. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I want you to know that friends can wound us and we can still respect them, but you must first be a friend. And if all we do is use scripture to beat down on people the right and wrong, that's not winning them. Yes, there is right and wrong, and we will discuss that in a minute. But there's also a right motivation. A right motivation by which we share the gospel. We share the gospel from the root of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's homosexual included. Now I know you and I, we gauge sin differently. We look at sin and we say, well, that's a little white lie. That ain't no big deal. But I want you to know that God doesn't gauge sin differently. And there is no level of one sin to another sin. I only know one level that the scripture actually gives us, and that's the level of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, sin is sin in God's eyes, and all of it is disobedience to his word. And so homosexuality is no different from lying in God's eyes. Homosexuality is no different from divorce, and no different from bestiality, and no, it's sin is sin. And so I want to make sure that we understand that. But we also need to know how to witness to people who are battling things. You need to be careful in how you present the gospel. Because we can, and I've seen Christians become hateful and vengeful. And we don't want to do that. We want to win the world, not push them away. The gospel works. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. The bondage of homosexuality can be broken. There are people who felt that they were born that way, whom God has delivered today, and they work in the ministry and minister to homosexuals today and do a great job doing it because someone loved them and told them about Jesus. So church, be careful how you present the gospel. The first passage of scripture I want to go to is Leviticus. The law of God. You say, why are you using the law? Well, because I want to show you the results of the sin of homosexuality without grace. That's what I want to do. How many thankful for grace this morning? Amen. I'm so thankful for grace this morning. For without grace, where would we be? Right? We'd be lost. But because of grace, we're saved. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. I put the main verse up there because I didn't have room to just put all of it up there. So I put the one verse up that I really wanted you to focus on. Verse 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind, speaking to men. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now I want to keep reading. I want you to pay close attention. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. Bestiality is wrong. To defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now look at what God says. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. God says, I am casting out the nations of Canaan. I'm letting you possess the land of Canaan. And these are the things that the Canaanites are doing. Do not do them. God commands it. Verse 25 says, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Go to chapter 20. Chapter 20. In verse 13, remember, I'm talking about the sin of homosexuality without grace. Understand this. If a man, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That is the end of homosexuality without grace. That is the end. Jesus came to give us grace and to receive forgiveness of sin. Can God forgive the homosexual? 100% God can forgive him. Can God change him? 100% God can change him. But what is the end of the sin of homosexuality? It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. There is a judgment coming. I know that we don't hear a lot of preaching today that the judgment of the Lord is coming. There is a judgment day coming, a day of recompense, a day where all mankind will face God. And the end of homosexuality. I would hate to stand before God and have my sin exposed without the grace of God covering my sin. It's a fearful thing. That is the end of homosexuality. I want you to go with me to Romans because it is in the New Testament. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. The scripture says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Let me pause there for a moment because I want you to pay attention to that. God gave them up. I don't want to focus on God giving them up. I want to focus on the fact that God had to deal with them a long time to give them up. You don't just give up on people. You obviously deal with them constantly to get to a place of giving up. And I want you to know that that's exactly what God is doing today. God is dealing with mankind and sin today. He's dealing with homosexuality. He's dealing with lesbianism. He's dealing with all of those things. Fornication, adultery, all of those things. God is dealing with all sexual immorality. And he's calling men to repentance. He's calling women to repentance. And he's constantly doing that. God has not given up on humanity. He's not given up. Yes, give him praise that he has not given up. One preacher said, I know why God hasn't given up, and I know for a fact he hasn't given up because he keeps calling people to the ministry. God isn't giving up. He's not giving up. He hasn't given up on my family that are battling with homosexuality. He hasn't given up on some of your friends and family that are battling with homosexuality, and nor should you. But God gave them up under their vile affections. He allowed them to go ahead and run amok with their affections. For even their women did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Paul says here, he doesn't call homosexuality love. He calls it lust. He says they burned with lust. Man for man, woman for woman. And God gave them up unto the vileness of their affections. He let them run the way they wanted because they refused the call and the heeding of God's prodding and His Spirit beckoning them to come. God loves the homosexual, but He does not agree with the lifestyle of homosexuality. Scripture is plain and clear upon this subject. The way God created things. God created man and woman. He created everything. It was perfect. God is the one who defines marriage. He defined it from the beginning, and that's how it's been defined from the beginning. God said, let man and woman be joined together, and let no man put them asunder. Let nothing come between them. God ordained it. God positioned it. God designed it. But when man fell, all manner of sin entered into the world. Even weeds today. How many wish the weeds were gone? Even weeds today. But all manner of sin is in the world today. One of the first sexual sins committed after the fall of Adam and Eve was polygamy. It's the first one. And it just began progressing. Even so much that it was found within even some of God's people. David committed adultery and had a man killed in the midst of that adultery, that adulterous affair, because a baby was born and it wasn't the man it was supposed to be that baby belonged to. Lust is a sin that is corrosive, and it keeps growing and growing and growing, and before long it just takes you as far as it wants to go. Yes, they legalized gay marriage in America. Yes, they legalized it. But where does it all stop? Because right now a man in Florida is fighting to marry his donkey. You think I'm joking? Go look it up online. Today in northern Colorado, there's a man saying that he's a pedophile, and that's just his sexual proclivity, that's what he's going towards. And so obviously they need to accept him if they accept gays. Where does the sexual sin cease? God has defined sexuality for us. He has given us confines, rules that protect us from sin and from destruction. And those rules should be obeyed. And I want to say this, and I say this with the utmost respect and love. We cannot condone what God condemns. That doesn't mean that I don't love the person who battles what God condemns. Matter of fact, it is out of love that we correct the things that are wrong. Today's society is so backwards. If you say something's wrong, you're a judgmental person. You're judgmental because you said that's wrong. No, that's not judgmental. I'm not judgmental because I tell my son, don't go here, don't do this. Because I tell my son he's not allowed to go out and party and do drugs. Because if he comes home and he bad talks mama and I tell him to pipe that mouth down. Matter of fact, I love him, and so I correct him. Correction is a form of love. It is a form of love. But understand this. Yes, it is a form of love, and some people take it to the extreme, and they have no love in them. They only have correction. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. It's hard to teach that and articulate that clearly, but there is a difference. So we cannot, by no means am I standing up here and becoming a gay basher. I'm not doing that. I'm not that at all. I'm far from that. I love the homosexual community, and I want Jesus to set them all free. Yeah. I wanted them all free. I want them to have the right mindset, the right thinking. I want them to have a good life, and I want them to have the blessings of the Heavenly Father in their lives. That's what I want for them. But the only way that's going to happen is if I don't condone their actions and I actually stand for truth, because they won't meet God if I condone it. And I'm not giving God a chance to change them if I condone it. Paul calls it lust. Now, I was fascinated. I listened to a debate. I listened to a debate between a Christian and a homosexual who stands for Christianity and literally calls himself a Christian. I was fascinated by how he interpreted these verses, because these verses are explicitly talking about homosexuality. There's no question. You can't even dissect it in the Greek and come up with something else. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, it is just as plain can get. And there are other verses I'm going to take you to in a moment. And how they interpret this verse is they say that this verse is not speaking against homosexuality. It's speaking against not being faithful in relationships. So if a man loves another man and they want to be married or they want to have a homosexual relationship, as long as they are faithful to one another, it's not wrong. As long as they are committed to each other. That is not what this scripture is saying at all. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that they burned with lust one for another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Even Paul was even so surprised. He said, even their women are doing this. That's the grossness of the sin that God sees. But he still loves the sinner. I said he still loves the sinner. Go with me to another verse. Go to 1 Timothy. It says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Wow, interesting. Interesting. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not for a righteous man. For a man who walks in righteousness, the law is not there for them, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now, Paul's going to give us disobedience. Are you ready? For the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers. And here's what deals with homosexuality. For them that defile themselves with mankind, this is sodomy. That's what that scripture refers to, sodomy. And when a man is with a man, that is exactly what is being committed, the sin of sodomy. God is against it. The law of God commands against it and forbids it, calls it an abomination, because it is a sin against a person's own self. It destroys the conscience and the heart of a human being. Brings them to a place of confusion where they don't even know who they are. Where they don't even know how God had designed them to be and even be comfortable in what God designed them to be. I deal with people constantly. I have counseled people who have battled homosexuality. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to cleanse the people from the stain of such a sin. That hurts the heart. Let me take you to another scripture. Go to Jude. It's just a few pages over. It's right before Revelation. Small book. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Now that word fornication in the Greek means sexual immorality. The King James Bible just interprets it fornication. Most places where fornication is, it's just sexual immorality in the Greek. Sexual immorality and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We know the story with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The story tells us that two angels came there by commission from God to go in there and get Lot out of the city. Because there wasn't 10 righteous in the city. Even Lot himself wasn't righteous. So the angels went in the city to get Lot and his family out. And when they got there, the men of the city tried to take the angels and have relations with the angels. And the angels were men and the men were men. And they were struck with blindness. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was sexual immorality. It was full of sexual immorality. And when Lot left the city, his own family, when he tried to save his family was so caught up in the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah that when he tried to get his son-in-laws out, they refused to go. They said he talked like a madman and he was a fool. And they all perished in the fire and hell and brimstone that fell on that day. The only ones that came out was two daughters, Lot and his wife. And his wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. The story is devastating. But here we find Jude telling us in the New Testament that they were an example. Look at that again. It says, and after giving giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example. That we would see the destruction that came and understand that God is going to judge sin. It is destruction that comes when sin is embraced. We need to be careful how we deal with homosexuals, but we also need to be concerned. We need to be concerned. God can set them free. I said, God can set them free. And God loves them. Now let me shift gears for a moment. I've given you some verses here, and I think I've made it clear that the scripture is against these activities. But now I want to show you what God does ordain. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. It says, but from the beginning of the creation of God, the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. That's what God designed. That's what God ordained. That a husband and a wife be together. That a man would find and fall in love with a woman. They would get married. They would have children. And they would honor God in their lifestyle. That's how God ordained it. If we were in a perfect world today, if no man had ever sinned and sin had never been known, there would be no such thing today as homosexuality. There'd be no such thing as bestiality. There'd be no law of God even necessary. Because everything would be perfect the way God ordained it and planned it to be. But sin came in. And when sin came in, everything is distorted now. Babies are born with abnormalities, handicaps. And now we have men and women burning for lust one for another. That's not the way God ordained it. God ordained that love would be in the relationship of a husband and a wife. That's the way God ordained it. That's the way God intended it. And to abandon that philosophy is literally to abandon God's philosophy of life. To say that it's okay, we should accept it, is to say that God, we hear what you have to say, but we just don't believe your word anymore. That is why you see Christians up at arms at this moment. That is why you see Christians frustrated right now. And Christians are frustrated, and rightly so, but we need to handle our frustrations correctly. Diplomatically, kindly, because the Bible tells us that we are to love one another. and that you will know my disciples by their love one for another. One of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. Amen? So these are things that we should betray as Christians. But the way God ordained it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, it says that, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to avoid sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife. That's the way God ordained it, that a husband and a wife would be together. God did not ordain homosexuality. God is not happy with homosexuality, and homosexuality is not love, it is lust. And today in our society, we don't know the difference between lust and love. Matter of fact, there are many, this is why the divorce rate is so high, because many people get married by lust, and when lust turns to work, well, it's not fun anymore. Because when you love somebody, you work through stuff, don't you? Some of you could look at your mate right now and say, yeah, I've been putting up with you for a while. Right? Come on now. I know what my wife goes through back there, ladies. I know what you ladies go through with us men. Really, if you had children, your husband was the biggest one you had, right? So, I know what it's like. God ordained a man and a woman to be together. That's the way he intended it to be. Now, here's the thing, though, because I've spoken directly with homosexual people and those who battle homosexuality, and this is what they say. So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to live unhappy all my life? Am I supposed to be unfulfilled in my sexual desires? This is what they say. Am I supposed to go through life and never experience what I believe will be true happiness? And I want you to know something, that the thought process of homosexuality is a thought process that stems from sin, which stems from confusion. And that confusing thought leaves a person feeling that there's no hope. But I can give you testimonies today, and you could even go online and read testimonies today of people who felt that very thing, but they decided that they were going to serve God, and whether they were happy or not in their sexuality, it didn't matter. They were going to honor God, and if they had to be celibate all their life, that was it. They were going to honor God. But you know what happened over time? All of a sudden, their mind began to change. And I could tell you about a woman right now who's working in a church, ministering, who's got children today, who's happily married, who once lived a lesbian lifestyle, who believed she was born in it, but somehow Jesus had got into her life and set her free, and today she's free, and she's working in ministry. And you would never know that it was on her, because Jesus set her free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not asking the homosexuals to come and be unhappy. I'm asking them to find happiness in Jesus. Amen. I'm asking them to find true happiness. Happiness that brings peace. Happiness that brings peace. Sin is very corrosive. It will always keep growing and taking over if we don't control it. And church, it has to be controlled. It has to be dealt with. But understand, when you speak to people concerning homosexuality, there's a person on the other end of who you're speaking to. And there's a heart, and there's feelings, and there's passions that you may not understand, but they're there. And so you have to be considerate of where that person is. If you're not considerate of it, you're never going to be able to minister to them where they're at. And so it's my goal this morning to not only instruct concerning homosexuality, but to instruct you on the right motivation to have when you speak to them. You know, the first thing that Christians do when they see homosexuality is they get turned off. They look at it in confusion, go, whoa, that's just not right, and they get turned off, and they become frustrated, and their first thought is, I want to go meet these people. That's not what they think. But that's what you should think. I said, that's what you should think. you should think, I need to go meet these people because I need to tell them that Jesus can set them free. They need to know that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. And I pray that God will send people here who battle homosexuality, because I believe Jesus can set them free in this church. I believe the love in this church can help them, can encourage them, can uplift them. I believe this church knows how to love people, don't you? We know how to love people. We know how to wrap our arms around the hurting and care about them. We know how to pick people up. And so, church, pray God sends them so we can love them, so that we can show them the Word of God, so we can encourage them and watch Jesus change their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord.